Law enforcement in New York relies on sophisticated, high-quality video in almost every phase of its work. Video cameras mounted in squad cars record traffic stops. Surveillance footage helps officers identify suspects. But there's one place you often won't find a video camera: the interrogation room. And despite years of evidence that video recording interrogations can help both cops and suspects, the state and city have made little progress in pushing widespread recording. WNYC's Robert Lewis has been looking at the issue.
The disappearance of Eitan Peitz in 1979 on his way to school terrified parents across the city and nationwide. It became one of the most well-known missing child cases ever, a case that's been unsolved for more than three decades. So it was stunning when a year and a half ago, Police Commissioner Ray Kelly called a news conference to announce a break in the case.
This evening, the New York City Police Department is announcing the arrest of Pedro Hernandez for the murder of Eitan Peitz.
Kelly told reporters that Hernandez, an 18-year-old bodega clerk when Peitz went missing, confessed to luring the boy to the store basement with a soda and then strangling him.
We have a confession, a written confession, a signed confession. He spoke for 3.5 hours, videotaped statements. So obviously, we believe that there's probable cause to go forward with this arrest.
But while police recorded some statements, they did not record the first 7 hours of interrogation. That could come back to haunt prosecutors when the case goes to trial. It leaves an opening for the defense attorney to create doubt about the truth of the confession. And if he didn't do it, the lack of a record showing how cops got Hernandez to confess could mean an innocent man goes to prison.
How in God's name could you not record that interrogation?
Peter Neufeld is co-founder of the Innocence Project, which works to use DNA testing to exonerate people who are wrongfully convicted.
When you pick somebody up and you know it's a high-profile case, how could you not record that interrogation when you know you're just inviting suspicion?
Advocates like Neufeld say videotaping interrogations can help expose false confessions. It's a concern that should resonate with the NYPD, which was involved in one of the most notorious wrongful conviction cases in U.S. history.
The youths called the attack wilding, random assaults on innocent people. One of the youths is reported to have said he did it for fun.
That was Don Matheson, reporting for WNYC in 1989 on the arrest of several young men for the rape and beating of a jogger in Central Park. After lengthy, unrecorded interrogations, cops turned on the cameras and the boys confessed on tape. The only problem? The Central Park Five, as they came to be known, didn't do it. Attorney Michael Warren helped get the convictions overturned in 2002 when the real rapist confessed and DNA evidence confirmed his account.
These interrogations occurred over a long period of time, hours and hours and hours. And that's classic, you know, because the script has gone over again and again and again and again and again and again.
Warren says during the interrogations, cops made it seem like they had evidence that didn't exist and promised the teens they could go home if they just admitted to being involved. Neufeld of the Innocence Project says false confessions under such conditions are more common than most people realize.
It's not that difficult to get an innocent person to falsely confess. And even though we're sitting here right now and we like to think they'd have to put a gun to my head before I'd falsely confess, the truth is something remarkably different.
The Innocence Project has documented 311 post-conviction DNA exonerations nationwide. In more than a quarter of the cases, there was a false confession. Saul Kasson is a social psychologist at John Jay College. He says it's important to realize those numbers are only for crimes where there's DNA to be tested.
If 30% of those cases contain false confessions to murder and rape, my God, how many false confessions are out there to lesser crimes? The answer is we don't know.
He says that in the 1980s, the NYPD and city district attorneys began to realize how powerful a videotaped confession could be. Watching a person admit to a crime trumps DNA evidence for many jurors. What the city didn't do was videotape the hours of questioning before suspects confessed. Kasson says that's a problem.
The judge is supposed to rule on just about every confession at a pretrial suppression hearing and determine whether or not the confession was voluntary or coerced. Now, how can a judge know if it's voluntary or coerced if he doesn't watch the process?
At least 18 states have mandated their police departments record interrogations for some crimes. But so far, New York State has resisted. That's despite cases like that of Jeffrey Deskovic. Deskovic was in high school in 1990 when police interrogated him about the rape and murder of a classmate. He says they loaded him up with caffeine, strapped him to a polygraph, and spent hours grilling him. By the end, he says he was in a fetal position crying, and the 16-year-old was willing to tell them what they wanted to hear.
that thought, that desperation type thought, how do I get out of here, when the cops suggest to you, like, and you go home afterwards, you know, you leap at that. And so that, what would seem absurd under normal conditions, seems more plausible in the moment.
He spent 16 years in prison before investigators matched the DNA found inside the victim to a man already serving a life sentence for a different murder. Deskovic says if his interrogation had been videotaped, he probably wouldn't have lost so many years.
There's no doubt in my mind I would have been found not guilty, because the threat would have been in there, the false promise would have been in there.
Such a belief has driven Assemblyman Joseph Lentahl to sponsor bills every year for the past decade aimed at requiring police departments to videotape or risk the case being thrown out. And where have those bills gone?
Nowhere. And it still has gone nowhere, except that the governor, in his wisdom, in the last State of the State message, mentioned it as a possible legislation that he would sponsor and introduce, and it never happened.
One of the groups that has opposed videotaping is the New York City Detectives Endowment Association. They say widespread recording just isn't practical. It's costly to outfit precincts with equipment and would slow down an already overburdened system. Michael Palladino, the association's president, also says cops don't want bad guys knowing what to expect during an interrogation.
It's really an art. And one of my fears is that it could very easily become a training film or a training episode for other criminals.
Under U.S. law, detectives are allowed to lie and trick suspects. Palladino says he's worried such images might not play well with the jury.
I think what could happen very easily is that some juries may become sympathetic to feel that maybe, well, the person was tricked and therefore they'd let the person walk out of jail because of that, or deem the person not guilty as a result of the tricks of the trade, so to speak.
It's unclear what tricks of the trade the NYPD used when interrogating Pedro Hernandez in the Eitan Peitz case. A spokesman for the NYPD did not respond to numerous calls and emails for this story. Joaquin Sapien is a reporter at the investigative newsroom ProPublica. He spent more than 3 months looking into the case. Prosecutors recently filed papers that paint a dark portrait of Hernandez as a man who used drugs and beat his wife. But Sapien says prosecutors have some hurdles in proving their case.
The cops got interested in Hernandez because of confessions he allegedly made to other people. There's big problems with those confessions. They're inconsistent with each other. He told one guy that the kid that he killed was black and that he got rid of the body by putting it into a rug. Eitan Peitz is white, and he told the police that he got rid of the body by putting it into a box. He told another guy, who's a registered sex offender, which could present some serious credibility issues in court, that he got rid of the body by chopping it up into pieces.
Given those inconsistencies and the fact there appears to be no physical evidence after all these years, that means the case could hinge on Hernandez's statements to cops. But Sapien says there's good reason to scrutinize that apparent confession.
False confession experts look for a number of red flags: a low IQ, a long interrogation, a history of mental illness, a crime that's been in the news. Pedro Hernandez meets all of these criteria.
Months before detectives questioned Hernandez, a state task force reported that recording interrogations was the most critical reform necessary to avoid wrongful convictions. Yet court records show that didn't stop detectives from only videotaping a fraction of Hernandez's time in custody. Months after the interrogation, Kelly pledged that the NYPD would start voluntarily videotaping interrogations at all precincts. Here he is in a September 2012 speech, quoting from the task force report.
Recording can aid not only the innocent, the defense, and the prosecution, but also enhance public confidence in the criminal justice system by increasing transparency as to what was said and done when the suspect agreed to speak to the police.
But Kelly doesn't seem to have followed through in the year since that pledge. Two-thirds of precinct detective squads still aren't outfitted with recording equipment, according to figures from the NYPD. Only 2 of 77 are recording homicide interrogations. Again, Assemblyman Lentahl.
There's no changes. I haven't heard of any widespread videotaping going on of anybody who's been in custody.
Asked to comment, the NYPD provided a brief prepared statement saying the department is still expanding the practice. Advocates are cautiously optimistic the situation could change when Bill Bratton becomes the new police commissioner. A spokeswoman for the mayor-elect declined to make Bratton available for an interview to say where he stands on the issue. For WNYC, I'm Robert Lewis.
You can see ProPublica's entire report on the Eitan Peitz case here on WNYC.org.